This podcast is supported by Hannover Messe, your meeting place for the industrial community.
Hi there, welcome to a new episode of the Industrial AI Podcast. My name is Peter Sieberg and I have two guests today, Fabian Bauser and Janis Dobmeier. They're both with Beckhoff and we're going to talk about Twin Cat Chat. Hello, Fabian.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Janis.
Hi, Peter.
Fabian, why don't you start introducing yourself to our Industrial AI Podcast listeners?
Thanks. To myself, I joined Beckhoff Automation around about 8 years ago and now work in the product management department for our automation software called TwinCAD. So TwinCAD is a modular software package and I take care about all products that are related somehow to AI or more specifically to machine learning.
Very good. Janis, same for you. Please introduce yourself.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for the invitation from my side. Yeah, I've been with Beckhoff for 18 years now and worked in several different areas. So starting with an apprenticeship, then going on with studying together with Beckhoff and finished now in the product management since 2019. My main focus is the PLC programming and for about a year now, also TwinCAD Chat.
Okay, sounds good. So TwinCAD PLC, TwinCAD Chat, I think those are the major topics we're going to be talking about. But let's do a quick introduction of your company. And we agree that I'm going to just ask the questions in general to both of you. And I think you can decide between yourselves who's going to answer. So many, I'm sure a majority of listeners will know who your company Beckhoff Automation is. But for those that do not, what products, what services does Beckhoff provide? Maybe what is your USP? What it is that you're well known for?
I think I will take that question. So Beckhoff is a globally acting automation company. We supply mainly to machine builders who use automation components from Beckhoff, like industrial PCs, panels, field bus terminals, drives, motors. Currently, we also work on own robotic solutions. We also have cameras and much more. So basically, we have a complete toolkit of different hardware devices that machine builders need to create a machine. And on top of it, we have our automation suite called TwinCAD that then converts a industrial PC into a deterministic PLC. And this idea is then called PC-based control, where we benefit from the performance gains in standard hardware, PC hardware equipment, and we can turn it automatically into performance gains of automation systems.
Right. Is it fair to say that Beckhoff invented PC-based automation?
I think that's fair to say, yes.
Right. That was about what? Is it in the meantime 30 years, 28 years, something around about that, I think?
So we celebrated the 42nd anniversary.
Oh, but did you start? We don't need to go into the details of that one. I can only say that coming from let's say the PC-based world, Intel and around, as many of our listeners know, when I then got into automation, it has taken me quite a long time understanding what a PLC, so what these separate gray boxes that were not PC-based, why that was, etc. We're not going to go into the details of that, but I think whatever we talk about today, then, and maybe we do want to move into that right away, which is then called, TwinCAD from your side. So the topic for today, TwinCAD Chat, but let's first understand, and I believe, Janis, you maybe want to give us an introduction into what is then actually TwinCAD.
Of course, TwinCAD is our automation software, so for programming and configuring the control system. So as Fabian already said, with TwinCAD, you can transform almost any PC-based system into a real-time controller to complete multiple tasks like PLC, numeric control, CNC, or are also a robotic runtime system. And yeah, it's a modular system, so with a lot of functionality available extensions. So it's very easy to make a system fit to your requirements. So for instance, we have technologies for functionalities for machine learning, vision application, analytic tasks, IoT, and many diagnostic tools as well. And of course, an HMI is also available.
And maybe, and I think that's maybe what we're talking about today, maybe it's going to be even more easy in the future, right?
Of course.
So, because that's today's topic, TwinCat Chat, and specifically, I think it's TwinCat Chat integrating large language models into the automation environment. So having a base understanding from you what TwinCat is, then the second maybe introductory question is, what does a large language model do in an automation environment?
That's a good question. Yeah, what is a large language model? Or the large language model like GPT-4 advanced AI systems based on neural networks and designed for processing and generating natural language. They are trained through machine learning, where they learn the patterns and large text data sets and understand to produce this in a way that like human communication. And yeah, it's based on the transformer architecture. And when you test it, maybe you see you can do something like, create text for marketing or something like that. And also writing code. And when it comes to text generation, it's naturally a logical step to try code generation. And we saw a few examples for that for a high level language. And we looked into this and thought, okay, this could also be interesting for our PLC developers in TwinCat. This led us to start the TwinCat Chat project, where we integrate a chat window in our IDE. So users now have the opportunity to interact directly with a large language model from within the IDE. In the first step, the focus was on creating an added value compared to using it in a browser. So the directly use, for example, like GPT-4 or something like that. And yeah, in the area for the PLC code generation, the user can adapt the code directly with the push of a button, for example, as a usability feature. And in addition to that, the code suggestions from the model are also displayed with syntax highlighting familiar to the user to make it more easier for the user to analyze his results he get from the large language model.
Okay, thanks for that first introduction. And we're going to get into more details later on, but I probably have a couple of additional questions. So this is a general introduction of the large language models. Thanks for that. ChatGPT, other ones. So there's private ones, open source ones. We already talked a little bit about language and coding. Foundation models scraped from the internet. Maybe you tell us, give us a first idea on what your model is. Is it your own model? Is it one of those models out there that you're using, that you're fine-tuning, or what is it that you specifically use?
Maybe I take that question. So currently we focus as a back-end large language model, we focus on ChatGPT, so on GPT-4. But we are also working on integrating other LLMs to provide our customers the flexibility they need. So maybe there are, let's say, regional needs or data privacy restrictions or other reasons why customers may not want to use specifically GPT-4 as a cloud instance. So, for example, we currently work with colleagues from back of China on integrating also a Chinese LLM. And also, this is more like a proof of concept phase where we train an own LLM based on Meteor's open source Llama models. This would then give us a possibility to inference those models locally. And then we can ship the TwinCat Chat function along with the backend LLM together to our customers.
Depending on the geography where you're sending it to.
Yeah, so currently we have the TwinCat engineering installer, and so there is a plugin for this TwinCat chat, and you need a REST interface to a cloud instance of, for example, ChatGPT. But what if we put the large language model inside of our software stack. So it's not even a cloud instance anymore. So the customer can run it locally in his or her network. So that would be an ideal situation, especially for industry segments that are very restrictive.
We'll come to the global question towards the end as well, but good that we already kind of introduce it here, because it is a very important thing. Now, how does the general large language model, and actually I just saw a video, I think, by Andrew Wang, where he was also talking about domain specific, I think he's talking in this case not LLMs, but LVMs, large visual, I believe, models. But the topic is always the same, right? I mean, so how do you make sure in general or very specific that your language model understands anything at all about automation, or to be more specific, about TwinCAT?
I think that's where I think Jonas started to explain, for instance, this initialization sequence of models. So if you take a general LLM like ChatGPT, it is designed to understand language and knows many things, but only a few things are related to automation. So the only way to somehow specialize the LLM is to use initialization sequences and very carefully upfront explain what the application area now is. So that's the way if you use ChatGPT. If you use your own networks, like you train on maybe Llama-based models, then of course you have more possibilities. For instance, you can train in your own PLC code.
Okay, so is that what is generally being called then prompting, or is it more the fine-tuning? Like take a foundation model that knows whatever, everything about the world, whatever, 10% of whatever, or 20 that has ever been written on the internet, Wikipedia and stuff like that. Is that it? Or is it more the prompting? So at the time that you ask a question, you give the model specific, in this case, TwinCAT information.
For now, for the first demonstration, we're focusing on the prompting. So make the prompts better, give right context information about our system and about programming and PLC languages, for example. But in the future, I think it will be something like a hybrid system. Maybe you have information that's not changed a lot and the system needs a deep understanding of that. Maybe this is a part for fine tuning. And in addition to that, maybe you have information that changes very frequently and depends on the user which are using the system right now. And I guess this is then a task to be solved by context information and as the systems.
We'll come back to that later. I'm also completely convinced that you and so many other developers in this world dealing with exactly this topic, but you're one of the first in our area, and that's why we talk, that you're going to make sure that, you know, very soon users, and then I come to the next question, the target audience, that users are going to be able to, you know, ask whatever they want to ask, and they don't need a 1 week training of how to ask a question. But again, maybe that is the time in which we're in for the very moment. So you started talking about a couple of examples. Concentrated in on coding. We'll look at that again, Yannis, but let's quickly talk about the target audience, and then we're going to look about the variety of use cases, one of which is being in a programming. So who is this solution, the TwinCAT chat, for?
We currently see TwinCAT chat as a tool to support and accelerate the development process for our users and customers. So the engineers who are setting up the project for the machines, and also the guys who are working on the machines to improve the system and accelerate the whole process to get faster from start of the project to a running machine. But also, I guess, in the near future, there will be use cases for analyze data or something like that. And for example, HMIs to visualize information very well.
Okay, so let's get into a little bit more detail. Maybe you started explaining. Maybe we want to stay with that or continue with the programming of the PLC? Is that the programming of your TwinCat, if I say that correctly? So let's maybe stay with that one. So what does the engineer do today? How does that typically work? How does the job start, and how long does he or she need? And with what it is that you're proposing, what is going to be different in the time needed in the way that things are being done?
Yeah, so for now, we have an assistant. We can't ask any questions about code generation for structured text for now. And so when you have a problem for your machine, maybe like sorting numbers or data or something like that, you can ask for an algorithm, and then the system will give an answer in the syntax highlighting, and you see, okay, can test it, or maybe you say, I want to change a little bit this and this, and then with one click, you can directly use it into your project. And this is the first step, how we started this, and worked quite well. Comment code is also a big topic for our customers, and this works quite well also. And yeah, after that, we think about, okay, how can we extend it for our customers? And another thing is that we start to make him known our automation interface. This is an interface to have a remote control for our engineering system. Then now the user can also ask something like, okay, I need this I/O device, for example, and please bring it to my I/O configuration. So first one is code generation. The second one is via natural language, yeah, control our engineering system.
Okay, which brings me back to, you know, have we not always tried to make sure that whatever environment we have and connecting whatever devices, we always tried it to look like as if it was USB, right? I mean, actually, I'm looking here at my notebook, and my microphone is actually connected through USB. But then, as we recall, it wasn't easy to get all three of us connected together. But maybe, so is that a slogan of the past? Or is that more the hardware connection, USB? And is language taking over by saying, I'm in charge of, you know, making this TwinCat work, and I just talk to who do I talk to? I talk to the other side, is then the large language model, and it's going to do what I want at saying, and then I'll stop English as instead of the programming language, I talk to my machine.
I think that pretty much matches the situation. So basically, to my understanding, in the future, the natural language will be the new, or at least it will be one interface every software environment has. And it's a much more easy interface because there is no entrance level issue if you are new to a software. So you can directly tell a software environment what you want to do with that. And you don't have to work into the user interface and search for, hey, where is the create a new project button, or how do I place elements on a workbench or whatever. So it's just explaining what I want to have, and it appears. So it doesn't matter what software package it is.
Yeah, which brings, you know, whatever to our imagination, right? But at the same time, that depends also a lot on you, listeners. You know, you listener, do you see this then as a threat or an opportunity? How do both of you see that? I mean, what is your personal? What is the first reaction in your environment? So in your environment, you have people that, how do you call them? Are they the programming engineers, control engineers? So those people who have been doing exactly that, are they jumping on it and say, oh, now it's my turn, I want to try it out as well? Or do you at the same time, maybe from the first customers who have seen this, I think you've announced it also already, is a certain group of people, are they afraid that they're going to, you know, lose what they have been doing for the last 10, 20 years?
Well, so I think most of our customers see a lot of opportunities. They see it as a tool for helping them to perform more efficiently. And it's really not a technology that will replace the creative work of a programmer. So you still need to create a well-structured and also maintainable software. You need to work on the software architecture. So where it can help is like the not so creative parts. And it's just a tool that, of course, will influence the way how we develop software in the future. But still, we need to develop software, and this will not be automated. So basically saying it's, to my opinion, just a better hammer to hammer in a nail into a wall.
Better hammer. Okay. Are you, well, I'm not going to say are you sure, but how about the creativity part? Because at the same time, and for you, Fabian, also for you, Johannes, at the same time, we do know that, you know, if we call them then these large language models as part of the group of, let's say, generative algorithms, we all know their amazing creative capability. Now we're talking is what we see all day through these days until it, we get used to it, you know, images on LinkedIn, on everywhere, social media, I guess, that we produce with, you know, the tools like Diffusion, like GPT, etc., like DALL-E. So, but you say that isn't, that is not what you expect, Fabian, that these, not within our industrial AI environment, that these models would also help us with a creative way of, you know, engineering things in a different way as we have been doing it before.
Yeah, I totally agree. So maybe just to bring that up again about the use cases. So we have another use case that brings exactly this creative part, highlights this creative part very, very nicely. So besides the PLC, every machine has an HMI. And so on the HMI, you design basically a web page to display values of the machine. And also we have some control elements. And on top of this HMI engineering environment that we provide, we also set on top of it an LLM interface. And the nice thing is that also this HMI engineering environment has an API to automate the engineering, like placing control elements somewhere and adding properties like the size, the position, the color, and the data binding. And so what we did is we taught into the LLM how to use this API and how to define properties and place it somewhere. And so what came out is a natural language interface where you just say or describe what you want to see on the visualization. And then basically everything just pops up automatically. So we also included something like a search engine for suitable PLC variables that allows you to also give quite abstract commands like create me a visualization of my brewery plant and show me production rate, fermentation temperature, blah, blah, blah. And maybe add the bottling speed as a spin box input at the lower right. And then all of a sudden, just everything is popping up on the HMI.
Make variations or corrections. Say, okay, that's already a good start, but can you small changes to what you see, right?
Yeah, so and that's the nice thing. So you can make those changes again by your natural language. Please shift the button name whatever to the lower right, to the lower left, to the upper right, or change the color, or you can just use a standard way of engineering by clicking the elements.
Okay. So what does that need then to, we already talked about the target audience. Maybe it's a variation on that question of the target audience. I mean, are the same type of people who until today have been, you know, programming, in this case, TwinCAT, will they be the users? It's the same question as asking of a data scientist, let's say, you know, now independent for a second of the TwinCAT environment, but wherever our data scientists in the world, you know, they get data and they can start to use tools that maybe do a very initial data analysis. Now I bring them together again. At the same time, I can now have, you know, I call them domain experts, as you may have heard before. And the domain expert doesn't matter who they are. You know, they can be in any kind of retail. They can be a physical doctor. They can be working with whatever a domain expert is that deals somehow. Maybe you can say that has been working from behind a notebook or something similar. So do you see both of those, the existing people, they will become more efficient? That's maybe one question. Or my question is there going to be a different, you know, category of people who maybe until now have not had the training to program the PLC programming. Maybe you want to talk to that. There is this, you mentioned already, is it 6, 8 something, whatever. And they didn't really feel. And now they're going to be able to do similar things as those people at a higher level?
I think we need to differentiate a bit. So for the PLC, it might be different. For the HMI case, I see that, of course, it will be used by the HMI programmers that already exist, and they will be more productive, as you said. But I also see that creative workers who don't know how to program an HMI can now also just try out their designs very quickly, very efficiently. So maybe they will not be able to bring it to a complete productive systems, but it's for trying out things for quick ideation. It's fantastic because you don't have to be able to program something you don't need to know how to set all those different kinds of properties because you just describe what you want to have. So currently we are also working on another feature that allows you to take or just draw a sketch of your HMI, take a photo, and we just arrange it on the HMI. So it's really like for the ideation phase, for the real creative part, and that's I think a fantastic tool, and that this would be a new group, so to say, for us.
So that's using this what is that, multi-model capabilities of, for example, ChatGPT or any of the other ones, I guess.
Exactly, yes.
I want to come back to the ideation in a moment. Not sure, Janis, that you are the one to answer a more technical question. So where does this reside? You know, is your language model trained somewhere on the cloud or locally in some kind of instance with Backoff? I don't know. But where it's going to be used, so the inference, is that taking place locally?
That is, I guess, a possibility in the future. That's something we are testing right now. So for the demo and the showcases we have on the fairs right now, we are working in generally with GPT models provided via cloud system or like Azure or directly via OpenAI. But we're also testing the local running models. And yeah, we're starting with the Llama model just for testing. But I guess that will be a use case in the future for customers and users who have data privacy reasons or just, as Fabian already said, regional things. And so I guess in the future, both systems will be there. So we have the cloud or the big cloud models with a big understanding of the whole world. And we have more of the local ones with more of the specialist models for maybe our Twinkit system or for automation or something like that.
So that would be maybe an automation GPT then, along the lines of, I don't know, where Sam, when he was still in his first life as CEO, when he was announcing the, producer GPT. So it could be, your Twinkit chat GPT. But explain me a little bit more. My feeling is that maybe not just myself. Well, I can just try things. And I, as a, let's say, as a consultant moderator, I take any kind of as specific as possible industrial data from the internet somewhere, which are, open source data, and I play with them, so I can break nothing. But my feeling is a very important question for many of the listeners who are in their own, development production environment, and they see what it is that what you offer them. Now, what are you as Backoff allowing your own environment? What are your customers? What are they going to allow their users? So typically the questions of foundation model, okay, now am I going to train it then with, in this case, Twinkit information, and what does that mean? I'm allowed to train it with publicly available Twinkit information, but I assume that there are certain things that are what I call the crown jewels. They should stay with you and only with you. So how does that work today? What are the solutions there today?
Well, it's a complicated question. I think it's a work in progress. So I don't see a clear strategy right now because, this complete market is so dynamic. And so I think if I tell you now, this is the golden way to go, And if some listeners click on this podcast in 1 month, it will be already outdated.
1 minute, I think.
So that's also one of the most problematic things that we currently face. So the LLM market is so fastly developing. It's so complicated to now create a product that will last for the next 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, I'm with you completely. I had a question last week, AI in the canteen. Can you share with us some great prompting resources? And my question was like, you know, before you start trying, you know, the developments in the 1 minute, in the one sentence I give you as an answer, there's so many developments. But still, I do want to have on that very topic one answer from one of you. So, of course, why prompting? Because we want to have as good as possible. We want to have as efficient and good. And we want those answers always to be correct, specifically, if possible, in an automation environment. So how about hallucinations? Is that the same? I just heard that, you know, how is that being called? Is that reading back is what I heard last week. And we do the same. If humans are not certain, you know, you, the three of us, we ask, oh, what did you mean? Did you do? And I understood that we got very high. So do you today have hallucinations? How do you deal with them? And is your expectation that they're going to be like gone soon in the next couple of weeks, months, or?
First of all, yes, they still exist. And all of these aspects is also a reason why we don't have made a product announcement right now. In my case, or my opinion, human still have to review and sometimes correct auto-generated code, for example. As we already said, it's the reason, and the humans acting sometimes in the same way. And I don't think so in the next months or maybe years, it's been gone. So I guess it's something we have to handle with, and something we have to make the users known of. And this, for example, is why we don't press one button and generate a whole machine code or something like that. It's more like assistance, and you get your suggestion from the system, and then you have to decide, okay, can I take this or can't I take this? It works quite better for the automation interface use case. So in this case, we don't have a lot of hallucination or something like that. That works quite well.
Exactly what this, the temperature, I'm not sure if you use the temperature.
Yeah, of course.
The temperature variable. Maybe we better call it the creativity variant or button, so to say. Because if we want to be creative, and that's all the wonderful pictures that we see around us of everybody who want to can now make the most amazing fantastic images. So we put the creativity level at 100. Now, on the other hand, you know, we would like the large language model to be giving almost the same answer is not maybe necessary, but we always want it to be correct. So we set the creativity level to a zero, right? That's already one way of doing it. And I would have thought that if you then train it on, as we suggested, I don't know, that they are your ideas, I believe, you know, on a TwinCat GPT, whatever you're going to call it, ChatGPT, if you train it with on a very general base model and then almost with more data only exclusively on, in this case, TwinCat, is there not a likability that you're going to get close to 99% correct answers?
Well, I think it's one way that you can go, but still you don't get rid of hallucinations, because it's still a fundamental phenomenon of the structure, how an LLM works. So you can try to make it better. Also, this temperature setting, yes, you can set it to zero, but it's still there. So basically, that's more my opinion right now. What would be one of the best solutions is to have something like a safeguard between the large language model and the PLC, for instance. Like, you somehow need to restrict what the LLM can do. And so basically, that's also what we see when we have a look on this HMI use case, where we just allow the LLM to use our API. An API is a very defined space. It has functions, it has parameters. And if you tell the LLM you can use those kind of functions and those kind of parameters, then you more or less already get rid of all those hallucinations because you define a very specific acting area.
I've thought and suggested before similar, like not called it a safeguard, but something similar where maybe as, you know, when we go towards, well, but we are in the middle of, that's what we are, industrial AI, and extending it towards, let's say, you know, aviation as an example, whatever. But it's the same in our world as well. I mean, if in our world things go wrong, specifically, you know, robots, machines driving around, autonomous driving, etc., that's where probably always going to need this safeguard, I would think as well. I want to come quickly back to your thought of the ideation. So give us an example there, how you use large language models. Maybe I understand that you have been doing ideation already before. It's an important creative concept, I think. But now you see, you feel, I believe, that with the help of large language models, you can do a better, a different, faster, whatever, ideation.
Yeah, I think so. So I think that the answer will have multiple levels. So if I'm facing a new topic that I don't know already, so what was in the past the way how you get into this topic? Basically, you started with using a search engine in the internet just to find out what it is. And now I find myself quite often in just typing in my questions first into ChatGPT and just to get a very rough idea about it and to search for the right keywords. And then I change to, and manually search the internet. It's also a change in the creative work. So I use other tools. And the other level then is, for instance, if you're a machine HMI designer, or even if you're a web developer, so it doesn't have to be necessarily a machine HMI. So if you just have ideas that you want to do something in some specific ways, if you are able to already prototype it, it gives you a much better feeling about what is possible and how you can interact with the tools. So if you are very, let's say you are a pure designer, you don't know what really is, then possible in a certain software framework, it's hard because basically you can, well, overshoot a bit. So you have a very crazy design and everybody's telling you, well, that's cool, but it's not possible. So it gives you a feedback system. Yeah, basically, I think that's the right word for it. So you have a direct feedback system. So you can directly try out if your concept is working or if it's producible in a certain extent.
Kind of get towards a close, but maybe I want to, Yannis, get an answer on some a little bit more technical. Can you tell us a little bit about the integration of the chat function into the IDE, into the development environment?
Yeah, of course. So we have a server component running on the engineering device and which handles the communication to the cloud instance from now, but in the future maybe also local large language model. And then we have a web browser window directly integrated with hosting the Trinket chat in the IDE, so we can place it where you want inside your engineering environment. And then, as I already said, we have a system initialization, like that is a large language model known you are a user for Trinket and you want to have your code in the structured text language and the other tasks you can solve with that. So it's directly there. You don't have to copy and paste anything. You can do it like pushing a button and a very quick or good using integration inside the IDE or a good use integration.
Thank you, Yannis. Fabian, Yannis, thank you very much. One final question to one or two both of you. So where are we? Fabian, you kind of suggested it. You say every month. I think it's more like every minute of the day we see new developments. Nevertheless, what is your view on what is the status of industrial language models and also in different parts of the world. And you, in the beginning, you chatted, Fabian, about, you know, how you may have a different solution for, as an example, the Chinese market. Where is the market? And specifically, as I say, looking at the industrial one, United States, Europe, and how is that changing this perspective also from a global situation over the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, the situation is still very cloudy. There are so many different larger language models popping up somewhere. So even I spoke about that with Yannis, I think, last week. And we agreed that basically we're not even able to oversee the LLMs that appeared over the last few months. And so it's very tricky for us to predict something in the future, as the current market situation is not really clear because it's so fastly developing and dynamic. There are not only the big players, there are also many, many other players. Like it was like out of a sudden this week where Google announced Gemini, also a very big, very interesting large language model. And the possibilities seem to be very interesting as well. So it's hard to tell. I think the future is my view on the future is changing currently every month. So it's complicated to predict 5 years. But I think that's also make it very, very interesting, because you always have to refine your thoughts on what you really want to do, because we are talking about industry. And in industry, you have to place products that exist over years and are stable. And so we can't, as Backhoff, we cannot just design a product that maybe exists for the next year or 2 years. That will be not acceptable.
Very good. So a strongly developing year. I've been saying in the future, all of us are going to be choosing similar to car brands. Not sure if we have 1,000 car brands. Maybe there's more or less. In the meantime, already more large language models. But my expectation, at least towards you, Backhoff, is going to be that you're going to be, you know, providing your whatever you're going to call it, if you want to suggest one way or the action, Fabian or Yannis, feel free to do so. But that you're going to provide on the basis of what you have announced, your TwinCat chat, one or many different solutions, and maybe all the other providers in the market are going to be doing the same, or maybe, and I think we did discuss that already with you, was it a year ago, Fabian, more on the business model of selling large language business model, maybe as a final close-off for today.
Yeah, so the business model is also an interesting aspect. So basically, the idea for now is that we keep our TwinCat chat system open and customers can change the back-end large language model. So then business model would be diverse also, like a customer can create an own instance of a large language model, of a, let's call it a, one of the supported large language models and connect it to our TwinCat chat server. Then the business model would be, hey, it's you use the server instance and that's a standard piece of software, so that's not a complicated business model behind it. So we can go the standard way of licensing TwinCat. If we go the way to create an own large language or host an own large language model, maybe a may it be a GPT related a large language model, and then we have in the background, let's say, continuous costs that we need to pass somehow to our customers. Then we need to change this business models into something like a subscription, because somehow it's rolling costs on our side and we need to pass it to customers. If we design an own large language model that we provide to customers and the customer can run this model locally, then we are again back to this, it's a standard software. It might be a little bit more fancy under the hood, but it's still standard software that runs on the customer side. And then business model is again very clear again.
Great. Guys, thanks. I'm running out of power here. We're running out of time. We could talk for hours. Fabian, Yannis, thank you very much for your time. Those listeners who want to get in contact with you, we said they best talk to you on LinkedIn. You can find Fabian Bauser, Janis Dobmeier in the podcast notes. And besides from that, dear listeners, if you have any question, comment, please a quick email to peter@aipod.de. I'm very happy that you stay with us so far. Fabian, Janis, thank you very much for your time. It's a very interesting, very important topic.
Thanks, Peter, for having us here.
Also, thank you.
Thanks, guys.